I want to share with you out of the sixth chapter of Matthew, beginning to read at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let me read that again. No man, these are the words of Jesus, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now that word mammon, in a more modern translation, would be translated money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. I feel impressed just to share a word with you today about the holiday season. And about how, unfortunately, many of our brothers and sisters are going to choose the wrong God during the Christmas season. And they're going to fall into bondage, hard laborious bondage to the God of money. Some of you may have already fallen into it. The world tells us that at Christmas time, we must take all the money that we have saved and add to it as much as we can borrow and spend it buying gifts that do not work for people that we have not shown love to the rest of the year. Is it right or isn't it right? So many of God's people, not understanding the Word of God, fall into hard financial bondage at Christmas time. They cannot buy food to put on their own table, but they'll go out and borrow $1,000 or run up thousands or hundreds of dollars on their charge cards and their credit accounts in order to buy gifts. And cannot feed their family. Now that doesn't make any sense to me. We got awfully quiet in here, didn't we? Why is it that rational thinking Christian people who have learned how to manage their finances, who have learned how to give into the kingdom of God, who have allowed God to help them to manage the other 90% of what they have left, or 85% or whatever it is that they have left after they've given into the kingdom of God. Why is it that at Christmas time they turn into mad, raging fools? And that on Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Friday, they go into a buying rage. And buy and buy and buy and buy and buy and buy and buy. And run up charges that it takes all year to pay off. That's dumb. Now the world has told us that Christmas is the season for giving. Yes, that is true. Christmas is the season for giving. But let me tell you what this season for giving is all about. It's the giving by a loving Heavenly Father of the Savior to the world. That's the spirit of giving. The spirit of giving is not what I could give my brother on Christmas Day. If I am really tuned into this one high God, if I really have received the gift of love in Jesus Christ, I'm going to love Him every day of the year, not just on the 25th of December. What makes me think that I can buy that affection and buy that love because I give Him something on that day and treat Him like mud the rest of the year? What makes me think that I can buy my children's affection on the 25th of December when I didn't treat them right the rest of the year? Where does it say in the Word of God that we are to lavish gifts upon one another at Christmas time? Where does it say that? Now, am I saying that it's not right to give gifts? No, I didn't say that. No, it's a blessed and wonderful time of the year. And if because of my love for God, I want to give a gift to my sister here in love, what a precious thing that is. But for the devil to lure me into hard financial bondage, I talk to parents and I've been talking to them for the past several weeks and they say, oh my goodness, my kids are not going to have any Christmas. Well, I tell you this, my kids are going to have Christmas whether they get a gift or not. See, we're going to have Christmas at our house. If there's no presents under the tree, we're going to have Christmas because our Christmas doesn't depend on what's around the tree. It depends on what's in the heart, bless God. Your kids come to you and they want the, I don't watch enough television to know what the names of these things are, but it used to be G.I. Joe. Does that date me? It's probably now. Do the kids really think I'm an old fogey now, don't they? Huh? That I don't even know the names of the latest toys. But you see what we do as parents, and it's so we don't realize what it is that we're doing. We sit our kids down in front of the television set. And the enemy fills them all full of desire. And then we encourage them to write their letters. I hope none of you have done that. What is it that you want for Christmas? And we hear the kids talking about, oh, I'm going to get up, zip, zip, zoom, and I'm going to get up, zip, zip, zoom, and I'm going to get up, zip, zip, zoom, and they got a list about this long. And if they don't get everything that's on the list, it's a lousy Christmas. Now, you know what I'm telling you is the truth, don't you? I mean, that's the way it works. And I've seen parents in the last week and a half or 2 weeks literally cry because they're not going to be able to provide enough for their kids for Christmas. I'm going to tell you something out of my own personal background. I've had some wonderful Christmases when I was a boy. I'm talking about gifts and so on. But I've had some pretty meager Christmases too. But I never once wanted or lacked for the love or the care or the concern of my mother and father. I never once lacked for any of that. And whether the tree was surrounded with gifts or whether there was a couple of things in there, it didn't make any difference. I've eaten steak for dinner, and I've eaten sliced hog jowls. So I know what it's like, and I've had meals without meat. So I know what it's like to eat both. But I never once wanted for the love of my mother and my father. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and then serve money because of what you've done at the Christmas season. If you can't afford to buy these things freely out of what you have available, then don't buy them. Just because your Aunt Matilda is a wonderful old lady, just because she's only going to be here a few more years, don't feel that you got to spend $50 that you don't have to buy her a red sweater. Go see your Aunt Matilda and put your arms around her and love her in the name of Jesus and tell her how much you care about her. That'll be worth a whole lot more than a $50 red sweater. And you won't have to pay for the blasted sweater the rest of the year, which she probably won't wear anyway. Because she likes green. No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he'll hate the one, love the other. And Christmas, beloved, which is centered around the birth of the Savior of the world, can become a stumbling block for you and your family and cause you to put your attention and your desire and your love upon the things of this world, upon money, if you will, rather than on the God that made it all possible. Now, some will say, well, isn't it in the Bible, the giving of gifts? Isn't that a Bible reality? Yes, it is. Didn't the wise man come and give gifts? Oh, of course they did. But think for a minute who they gave the gifts to. They did not exchange them one to another. They came and they gave them to God. They knew what that was all about. They gave their gifts to God, not to one another. And don't you misunderstand me that I'm against the giving of gifts. I think the giving of gifts is wonderful. I think it's appropriate. I think it is a marvelous way to demonstrate and to show love and affection, the giving and the receiving of gifts. But what I sense the Spirit of God saying to us today is that that is not the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas is the coming of the Savior. The spirit of Christmas is the giving of our all unto Him. The spirit of Christmas is that we cannot serve any other God but God. Paul said, neither give any place to the devil. And many folks, many Christians, and this beloved, many of you, or some of you, I should say, have just recently found Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Some of you have just heard what the Word of God says about giving and stewardship and being faithful in the giving and the maintaining of one's possessions and the things which God has entrusted to us, our material and financial resources. And a number of you just in the last 30 days or so have made sacrificial commitments to tithe of your income into the kingdom of God according to the Word. Now, I want to caution you today that the devil would like nothing better than to bring you into financial bondage through this holiday season so that you cannot make your tithe. He would love to get you committed up to your eyeballs so that you could not tithe. And then, you see, when you can't make your bills, well, if I don't tithe this Sunday, I can make it. And what he will successfully do is rob you of God's blessing. He will rob you. You won't be putting the seed into the ground, and then you'll have nothing to come up. And this is just the time of year that he will like to do that. Now, if you have $40 to spend on your Christmas, then you spend $40 and buy $40 worth of gifts and give them with joy and love to whoever you want to give them to. If you've got $4,000 to spend on Christmas and the gifts and that portion of it, then you spend that $4,000 with joy. But don't you obligate yourself up to the hilt because you have a responsibility to give, and people won't understand if you don't give. What do you care if people don't understand? Committed unto God. Now I want to read you the next few verses. In light of what I have just said, I want you to think about the next words of Jesus in light of what we have just talked about. About the constant fretting and where am I going to get the money to buy my children their Christmas presents and so on and so forth. Where's all this going to come from? How am I going to do it? Oh, I'm so worried. I'm so frustrated. I'm so fretful about the holiday season. Oh, I'm only glad Christmas comes once a year. Have you ever heard that said? Oh, it's over. I've got all my shopping done. You'd think Jesus had just come. Verse number 25. Now, listen to this in light of what we're talking about. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. He could have easily said there, nor what you're going to give Aunt Jane for Christmas. He says, take no thought for your life. Do not be fretful or worried or concerned or frustrated about it. Do not allow the devil that avenue into your life. Don't permit him to have access to you in this way. It's heinous and it's insidious how the enemy picks the most glorious time in the Christian calendar to destroy the Christian. When our hearts are filled with joy and our hearts are filled with love and our hearts are filled with anticipation, and then he sticks his snake in our pocket. Take no thought, Jesus said. Continuing on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, take no thought about all of these worldly things, because it's the rest of the world that seeks after those things. You're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You don't belong to it. Your citizenship is in heaven. You don't have to be bound by the same things that bound the rest of the world. Now, you can do it if you want to, but you don't have to, he said. Don't be concerned about those things. God knows what you need, and he knows how much money you need to take care of your Christmas needs. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Good advice any day of the year, but especially at this time of the year. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now let me say this to you, beloved. The principles that Jesus taught us in this book, if they will not work for the Christmas season, then they won't work any time. And if they will work any other time, they'll also work for the Christmas season. Is Christianity a faith that a man can live by? Is the Christian faith one that he can really live every day of his life on? Is the Word of God adequate for every situation? Is it appropriate and does it apply for every circumstance of life? Yes, of course it does. And this is how it applies in this instance. I hear people saying, oh, what a tragedy. The commercialization of Christmas. Oh, what an awful thing how the world commercializes Christmas. And the Christian church is right up there in the front. Worried about this. Worried about that. How am I going to afford a Christmas tree? How am I going to give my children the same kind of Christmas that my neighbors are? If you're a Christian, beloved, the most important thing that you can give your children is an introduction to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the most blessed Christmas that you can give them is your love. Not a toy that won't make it through the day. Amen? Well, I said it. Some of you have received it and have been set free because of it. Some of you aren't sure whether I know what I'm talking about or not. And let me just say one other thing, and then we'll close. Whatever you decide to give your children for Christmas, will you be sure that Jesus gets the credit and not the little fat man? Amen. Hey? Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Because he's the giver of every perfect gift. The little fat man is an interloper and a trespasser, and if he were tried today, we would find him guilty of alienation of affection. That's right. That's right. That's exactly what he has done. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. I think I shared with you once before, if you teach your children about little red men, and when they get to the age where they know that there isn't any little red man, are they going to wonder whether your Jesus is a grown-up little red man? What are you going to tell them about a God that you cannot see? Are they going to think that it's just like the one that came down the chimney, that when they get older, they're going to find out he was a phony too? Don't teach your kids about phonies. Teach your children the truth. Teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ and about His love, and expose the phonies. Don't get wrapped up in all that garbage. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the sending of Jesus on that glorious day in Bethlehem. We thank You, Father, that You provided the star that men might know that this was the glorious King come from heaven to bring peace on earth and goodwill between God and man. We know, Father, who we celebrate, whose birth we celebrate this Christmas season. We do not permit anyone or anything else to distract from it, nor to destroy it, nor to hinder it, nor to inhibit it. We take advantage of this time of year, Father, to let the light which is Jesus shine. We take advantage of the time of this holiday season to share the joy that is knowing Jesus personally with others who become aware, perhaps the only time all during the year, of His birth. We thank You, Father, that You did not give us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but rather the spirit of adoption which cries, Abba, Father. And we do not fear how we're going to make this Christmas. We don't fear how we're going to have enough. Our heart cries out, Father, Father, we love You. Jesus, Jesus, we praise You. Earth, earth, we care about You and we tell You about our Savior. I ask You, Father, that if there be anyone in this auditorium today that does not know You personally, that has not invited Jesus Christ to come into their hearts, to be the Lord of their life, that You would draw them powerfully by Your Holy Spirit. Minister by Your Spirit, Father, and draw them to Jesus through the proclamation of Your Word. Jesus, You said that any man that comes unto Me, I will in no wise cast him out. So I declare today, Lord, that any person that comes to You, You will not turn them away, but You will receive them into the family of God, that they might be saved, that they might know You personally, that they might be filled with Your joy and with Your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you to stand, please, and find a hymnal, if you have a hymnal nearby you there. And turn in it to hymn number 190. Angels from the realms of glory. Yeah. Amen. And that is the message this Christmas season. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. Worship not the tree. Worship not the holly. Worship not the presents. Worship not those that give you presents. But come and worship Jesus Christ, the King. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you've given us together today in the service. Thank you, Father, for the joy as we worshiped you. Thank you for healing those, Father, who have reached out and touched you. Those whose healings have been manifested, Father, and those whose manifestations are yet to come. We stand in faith one with another, believing you, Father, for the fulfilling of all of your promises toward us. Lord, as we go forth from this place today, we go free. We go free from every oppression. We go free from every twisted doctrine. We go free in the truth which is the Word of God. And we ask you, Father, to allow the glory of our God which is in us to shine brightly, untarnished and unblemished in this holiday season, that men might come and truly worship the King, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In his name we pray. Amen.